In January, we're going to talk a little bit about who we are, where we've come from, and where we think we're going this morning. So I get the privilege of talking about a little bit about where we've come from to up to the point of our new beginnings, which is now. And whenever we tell a story about who we are, our history, that's exactly what it is. It's a story. So you get to hear my story about who we are today. We are not a very old congregation. In fact, quite young as congregations go. We were called into being, I believe, specifically in response to the struggle for equal rights for GLBT people, which is one of the major equality struggles of our time. I like to think of us as a seed that fell from the great tree of the United Methodist Church onto the great fertile garden of the United Church of Christ. And I say that because, as you know, our founding pastor was Kathy McCallie, and she was a United Methodist minister who was unable to practice her inclusive ministry in the United Methodist Church, and hence we became United Church of Christ. Our mission statement was at the beginning to follow in the reconciling ministry of Jesus as an inclusive, justice-seeking community. We were incubated at Mayflower United Church of Christ, which, of course, is an honor that we share with our new housemates, Cathedral of Hope, in what was referred to often as church in a box, because we had to take the altar items in a box and set them up, and then when we were done with worship, we had to take them down, and every week that was sort of the routine. Until we were able to move into what's also finally known as the ghetto church. I was only in that building once, but I've seen lots of pictures of all the hard work that was done to renovate it and make it a space of our own. So that's part of our heritage as well. And under Kathy's leadership, we continued to grow in confidence and in numbers until we felt we were able to buy this building. During those years, our pastor remained a public figure. She spoke to equality issues of all kinds in the public, and in doing so, continued to shape our identity within the community as a congregation that cares about equality and inclusion for all people. That is part of our history and part of our core identity. I believe she was a prophetic voice in our community and an essential part of our history. One time when I was in this church and a pastor from another church was visiting, he was kind of pushing me a little bit. I was a new member at that time. And he said, "Well, I like what the UCC stands for, but what do you teach? What do you believe?" And that's been part of my journey, to struggle with that question. I think it's an excellent question. But it's in everything that we say every week, and I've continued to work with this. The United Church of Christ teaches us that God's love and mercy apply universally to everyone. In the heart of God, no matter who you are, you belong. And I think we strive continually to embody that unconditional love and acceptance. And it's been a journey for us, and it will continue to be a journey as we move out to recognize and embrace all of those who are excluded from our society or who are discriminated against or belittled for their religion, their race, their sexual orientation, or whatever. The UCC teaches us also that in the heart of God, no matter where you are on life's journey, you belong to God. The word journey implies movement. We're not on a journey if we're not moving. Where we are in our spiritual understanding today, both as individuals and as a community, may not be where we are in our spiritual journey tomorrow. And in order to recognize that, we must honor each other. We must continue to honor each other wherever we are on a journey, in the sure knowledge that if we're growing and if we're seeking, that we will change where we are on our journey. What we believe today may or may not be what we believe a year from now. And I believe that God planned it that way. We're not supposed to be stuck. We're supposed to be moving. This is why we've established Church of the Open Arms on a polity of consensus, where we hear every voice, or we seek to hear every voice, why we have rotating leadership, and everyone is welcome in leadership positions as they feel called and inclined to join in, why we have the team structure and the leadership council that we have. Everyone is welcome in the polity of our church. And this is, I believe, the heart of who we are and where our journey has brought us to. I also believe that these core truths are exactly what the world needs to hear today. The reconciling word of Jesus and justice for all God's children. Recently, we went through a process called New Beginnings. As Kathy left us and moved on, we had to reevaluate a little bit to see whether we still are those people or if we've decided we need to move in a different direction. And if you recall, we had house meetings and we employed the consensus process to ask the question of who we are. What are we good at? What do we value about our community and our journey together? And we worked through a variety of meetings where everyone's voice was welcome and invited. And guess what? Our new mission statement is to follow in the reconciling ministry of Jesus as an inclusive, justice-seeking community.
As we finished with that new mission statement and part of the New Beginnings report, we also found some other things that we needed. There were things that we did need to change. And one of those was our finances. Many of you will remember the meeting that we had right here in this room about 6 months ago when we finally determined that we could not afford this building and a full-time pastor. We just could not pay for it. We didn't know then how we would find a part-time pastor, but not as we were doing other things to better use our resources, and that was one of the points made by New Beginnings, that we had this big building, 19,000 square feet, and we weren't using it very often. So we began to talk with other groups. One of those groups is known as SISU, S-I-S-U. They are one of our renters, and by time the weather is cold, there will be emergency housing in our basement for youth during times of cold weather. Most of the youth will be LGBT children who are under 18 but have been kicked out of their homes by their parents because of who they are. This was a dream that was in the minds and hearts of people when we found this building, and now it's becoming a reality. And that also helps our financial situation because they're paying rent. And then another piece came up. We heard from Cathedral of Hope that they were looking for another place to move. They had been at Mayflower for 5 years, and it was time for them to find another home. And as we talked to them about using the building, that was about the same time we decided that we couldn't afford a full-time pastor. And our conference minister encouraged us to at least consider sharing a pastor, because finding a full-time pastor would be so much easier than finding two half-time pastors. And if you're going to have two half-times, why not have a whole that looks over each congregation? We have about 80 or 90 on Sunday mornings, and they have about 60, and that's not too large for one pastor, at least if all the people in both churches are working to help the pastor. So we decided we would start that search. And you all elected Melissa Hall, Kit Norris, and I to serve on the search committee, and there are three people from Cathedral of Hope on that committee. We have reviewed 18 profiles of UCC pastors who are interested in coming to this church. They come from all over the country, from Pennsylvania to Florida to California to Texas, and in between. They are male and female, black and white. It was a great range of people. Personally, I would like more women to apply, but that's part of the problem with pastorates, that there are so fewer women in ministry than there are men. So we had a few more men than women apply. We have reviewed all of those profiles. We have conducted 3 interviews now. And so we are now at the point where we as a team will be deciding if any of these 3 or more than one of these 3 are ones that we should go, that we should have here. Not for you all to know about. This is still not that stage. But to have what we call a neutral pulpit, which would mean they would come and preach at another church and we would go and listen to them. This is a personnel kind of thing, so it becomes pretty difficult to share what's going on. They may be in a pastorate now where they haven't told their congregation that they're looking. That's not something you usually do. You don't tell your boss, hey, I'm looking for a new job, I'll be out of here. You know, you don't do that. So we have to keep their confidence by not telling you who we're talking to. But the step after that, you will know. We will have a weekend where the candidate that the team has selected comes and visits with both churches. They will preach at both churches. You're welcome to come and hear them both times. We've told them that the style of worship is different, but we think that they can craft a sermon that they can give twice. But they may not want to. So you can come and hear them twice. There will be time when you can come and meet them. There will be probably a dinner. All of those things will be happening that weekend. And then our church and Cathedral of Hope will decide whether or not this is the right person for our churches. We haven't yet quite tweaked all the details. We are considering, since they meet at night, having us come back to church at about 7 o'clock on that Sunday evening. And let them be in here because this is where they will have worshiped. And us go to the community hall, us do our consensus process, and them do their ballot, by secret ballot voting. So we both honor our own, but then have the results announced at the same time. Otherwise, if we make a decision Sunday morning, we're going to all know, so they'll know. So we haven't quite figured out that piece yet, so that's yet to come. We are hopeful that it might be by the beginning of the year. Hopeful. But what we need from you is continued prayers as we go through this process. Prayers not just for us, but for all the candidates that we are considering. Because we know that there are at least 18 people out there looking for something exciting. I thought, maybe this was my own, I wouldn't want to deal with 2 separate congregations, the politics of 2 separate congregations. And we've asked that question, and they are excited about that possibility. So they're a lot younger than I am. That may be the difference. So I'm excited. I think Kent and Melissa are very excited. The group is working together so well. As chair, I really have had very little to do. I've sent some emails and posted some things, but mostly every person has reviewed every profile before we have a meeting. There's not been anybody who hasn't done their homework. So it's really, and I've not encouraged people. I've not had to send reminder emails. We've been at the meetings unless we knew ahead of time we weren't going to be. So it's really working well. And I think that we will be able to share a ministry with Cathedral. We, of course, have some things to work out. How we use the building, but we're going to be electing a committee today to do that. We also have some other things. Oh, I know what one of the things I needed to explain. When a pastor leaves a church in the United Church of Christ, they are not to return to that church unless invited by the pastor. So if you are wondering why Kathy has not shown up or why Victor doesn't come back to visit us, it's because the boundary ethical issues within our church and other denominations have grown so that we have learned that that's the best way. A clean break is the best way because our job is to find a new pastor and to become attached to that person and not stay attached. Of course, our love continues. And I've seen Kathy 2 or 3 times at different kinds of events, and she never asked me how the church is doing, because that's a boundary she's not supposed to cross. When she needed to know something about what was going on, she called Victor, because the pastor is that person who represents us. So I want you to understand that it's not personal to you that you don't get a visit or a call or they don't return to worship with us. It's part of their ethical considerations based on significant problems in the past. So that's where we are with the search committee. And again, I ask for your prayers and your consideration concerning the privacy issues that we have to provide.
Good morning. I am Mike DeArmon. I'm the current congregational president here. And it's my job to tell you what's next, what's coming up. And the first thing I want to say is that we will be having church every single Sunday. So make plans now to attend every Sunday. The worship team and the executive team has worked real hard to make sure that the pulpit is filled every Sunday with some exciting services that are going on. We've got many ordained ministers in our congregation that will be speaking. We've got friends outside in the community that we have contacted who are more than willing to speak at our congregation. So be prepared as we come upon the holiday season. We are going to have a choir Christmas program. And I don't know if you remembered it. Lee Aaron and Adrian have agreed to help us do our all-church Christmas pageant again. And if you weren't a part of that, you missed it. So make plans now to be a part of the all-church Christmas pageant. It was a blast. So church will continue as every Sunday. There will be continue to be adult education opportunities. In fact, as far as I know, I think we have adult education opportunity through the end of October scheduled right now and some into November. So make plans to be a part and participate and be here because nothing changes for the church. We still have ministry and work to do, even though we are without a pastor right now. What we have coming up and what the Leadership Council has agreed to do, we are having a formal stewardship capital campaign. And that is a dual campaign. We have agreed to pledge our 2016 operating budget and also to do a three-year pledge program to reduce our current debt by $200,000. That's by half. October will be our stewardship capital campaign month. We will kick off on the first Sunday in October. Every Sunday there will be stewardship ministry meetings, talks at time of offerings for people to share their journey through giving. You'll also be providing specific and more in detail information about the entities that are using our building, COH, CSU. We also have a startup church that meets here on Sunday afternoons, Spirit Church, and also Food Pantry, which is one of our major outreach ministries. So please make plans to be here to hear about that. There's lots of exciting ministry that's going on in this church, and you can find out ways how you can be a part of that. There will also, I'm going to offer an adult Bible study on the second and third Sunday of October on abundance and generosity. And this is a Bible study based on the knowledge and wisdom of Walter Brueggemann, who is an Old Testament scholar and progressive theologian. And I'm real excited about that. So that will be at the Sunday School Hour on the second and third Sunday in October. Fred Mishler has agreed to provide some financial education opportunities covering investments, estate planning, what to do, how to plan for the unexpected, and budgeting. We haven't actually come up with a time because we're looking at trying to get it when everybody can attend those times. There's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer, so please, if you're interested, sign up, and we will be contacting you when a time is good for you on that. On October 15th, we are using the actual stewardship materials available through the UCC, and we will send out pledge cards on October 15th. And there will be two spaces for two pledges. One will be your operating budget plan or your current everyday giving, and also for the capital campaign. It's important that everyone participate and that we get that you send those cards back in to us within a timely manner so we can know where we are as we plan for the next year. We also will be setting up online giving opportunities through GoFundMe or a similar type program where those outside of our congregation will be able to contribute and be a part of our ministry. In November, we'll do follow-up mailings and additional correspondence as necessary. And then in December, we'll do a wrap-up and report of where we are and how we are doing. I know as a member of this congregation, this giving has been a huge part of my spiritual journey here. It was not what I expected and not what I had asked to happen, but regardless, it is. And as when I agreed to do this capital campaign, I knew that I was going to be one of the first ones to pledge. And I want to share something with you about my journey in that this year, because I believe God is doing great things and miraculous things in our midst, and we'll continue to do that, not just for us individually, but for us as a congregation. And most of you know that recently I bought a car, and I bought a nice car, and I have some really nice car payments. And so when we started talking about this capital drive, my first thought was, oh dear God, how am I going to give anything? I'm stretched to the max right now as it is. And in fact, I shared with the other presidents, I said, I'm not asking God about how much, I'm just asking God, how in the world can I do anything? And as I continued to pray, I finally decided I probably better look at my finances and see if there was actually something I could do. And about 2 weeks ago, I went through everything and I came up with this number. And so I sat down, and in my nice little pious way, I said, oh, God, thank you that I'm able to give this amount and that and everything. And the first thing I get from God is give more. And I'm thinking, oh, that can't be God. That can't be God. So I quit praying. And I waited about 2 days, and I tried it again. I said, oh, God, I'm so grateful that I'm able to give this great amount that I came up with. And God said, give more. And so I quit praying again. And I didn't pray on Friday because I didn't want to hear that again. Well, last Monday, I thought I'd try it again. I said, oh, God, thank you that I'm able to give this wonderful amount I came up with. And God said, give more. And I quit praying again on Monday. And I was kind of in a tears because it was not comfortable. I wasn't comfortable in my skin. I didn't want to pray because I kind of knew what God was going to say if I was going to pray. So Wednesday morning, I'd had enough. And so I, in my all my wisdom, I sat down and I prayed. And I said, okay, God, I hear you. And I don't get it. But I know you're God, and I know you're right, and so I'll give that amount, but you got to show me how. And I'm not pledging it till you show me how. That's my great faith. I'm like that kid. I had just enough, and that was all I had on Wednesday, right? So I go to work on Wednesday, and I actually did when I prayed that prayer. I had a little peace, and things felt good, and I was kind of happy with myself. And I went to work, and at 3:30, my boss came in my office and shut the door, and he said, Mike, I want to give you a 10% raise. And I believe that those are the kind of miracles that our God is capable of and in our lives. Even though we can't see it, even though we don't know it, even though we can't believe. And immediately when he said that, I thought of that scripture that says our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask. And I think right now I'm about through thinking because God does know better. So I encourage you as we go into this time, don't get upset. Don't get, they're talking about money again. They're wanting my money or whatever. Pray about it and listen to what God has to say in your life. Pray about it and ask God what you can do. And look for the miracle in your life. And look for the miracle in this church. Because I believe that we are in a time of great miracle and great things happening. And you certainly don't want to miss a Sunday so you don't miss anything. I thank you all for your commitment and your love. Your love for me and the love for this church, the love for the ministry that we do. And I look forward to the next 3 months and the holiday season. It's going to be a great and wonderful time. And I hope that you see the love and the miracle of God in your life just like I have it seen in mine. Thank you.